love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
Yahoo.
Yeah, saw Drew yesterday afternoon at the Dodger game.
Yeah.
Did you hang out for the Dodger game?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I was plunked because I had a bunch of kids with me, so they wouldn't let me in the fancy box seats where you guys were.
Yeah, well, it took us like an hour to get in there, by the way.
So I was with where you plunked all your buddies.
Oh, really?
Oswaldo, Ray, everybody.
Wow, Billy. They're
John,
all there.
Everybody's there, Billy.
Good times.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what happened to my fancy tickets. I must have given them away to somebody. So here's what happened. Drew and I, well, first off, I made my triumphant return to the Dodger Hollywood Night of Stars game after about an eight-year exile. I was longer than MacArthur was away from the Philippines. Do you understand that?
True.
I was gone at the equivalent of two World War IIs.
He was kicked out by a famous agent who told him, the guy's about 60 years old. You told him to kiss your ass and that you wanted to fight with him.
Yeah. Well, okay. But am I right or am I right?
You're right. You were a little over the top, but you're right. You're in the right.
What happened was, is literally 8 years ago, I was asked, and this is when the game was hardball.
Yeah.
The game we played yesterday, kiddies, was softball. We still had a good time. But they used to play, and then probably like since the 50s or maybe the 60s, they'd have this Hollywood Night of Stars, and Burt Lancaster'd be out there with Charlton Heston and Bob Hope. And it was like, by the way, real celebrities.
Yes.
Now it's just me and the guy who played Bernie in Weekend at Bernie's out there on the mound hitting to like Mini-Me and a bunch of neighbors on sitcoms you never heard of. And then there's Drew, if you want to know
what kind of
celebrity barrel is being scraped. But the point is I grew up out here in Southern California. The idea of even going out onto the field at Dodger Stadium was gave me goosebumps. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't a maniacal Dodgers fan, but of course, you know, Steve Garvey and Ron Say and, you know, Yeager and all these.
Ron Say kicked you off the mound yesterday.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that later. Jealous, Drew.
Yeah, that's what it was.
The point is, you know, Dodgers won a couple pennants when I was, you know, my formative years. Didn't make it out to too many games because not too many of my friends' dads went to Dodgers game. Of course, you'd have to rule my dad. And my parents would be completely ruled off the list.
I'm confused you even brought them up.
Yeah, well, I was hoping. See, usually if one of my friends' dads was into something, I could do it. But they just weren't into it either, so I didn't go. Went a couple of games. So, anyway, 8 years ago, I was a news celebrity. 8 or 9 years ago. I'd been a celebrity for like 10 minutes. All of a sudden, me and Drew, I don't think the Man Show was on yet.
No, it was still for Loveline.
Me and Drew are going to go play at this Hollywood night of, and I'm going down to Dodger Stadium, and we're playing hardball.
Yeah.
And I like to play hardball, and I will swing the bat, and I even thought, you know what? I might even jack one out of here if I go straight down the right field line, and the wind is blowing just right, and I catch it just right. I'm physically, it's possible. Because I have hit those in high school
before. Did some BP, and you hit them deep to the track.
I took some BP, and I hit the ball well, and I was feeling good, and I was excited. But I noticed that our rosters were pretty deep.
Yeah.
They probably had 21, 22 people on each team.
Yeah.
And I also noticed that, according to the scoreboard clock, we were starting at like 5 o'clock, and the Dodgers were coming on the field at like 6:05 or something. We by the time the first pitch was thrown out, we had about 45, 50 minutes to play this ball game.
Right.
So I said to my a-hole coach, who I'd never seen before, who I thought was just a coach from the Albuquerque Mud Hens or something. I thought he was like a AAA coach. I didn't know he ran show business. I said to the guy, he was wearing a Dodger uniform and everything. Obviously, he took it pretty seriously. I just said, Coach, I can see, you know, I mean, I did the math. There's 22 people on our team, and I don't know the coach, which means he's been playing with a lot of these people for the last 6, 8 years.
Right.
He's just going to put them in. He doesn't know who I am.
Right.
So I'm going to go up to him and say, Coach, just want to let you know, some guys ain't that interested in playing, like Drew.
Yeah.
Other guys are into it, like myself, so I'm ready to go. And secondly, I got some game. I don't know why that amuses people so much with me. Whenever I tell them anything, like, oh, you know, I'm pretty good at it. What is that?
It's a curse.
But what? I understand I'm marginally goofy, but do they have to actually start laughing
at
me?
You can't be funny, be a comedian, and be an athlete. Just, you're not supposed to be. It's supposed to be funny.
Okay, maybe that's it. Yeah. Maybe, and I'm just being sensitive. But anyway, he looked at me, and he just gave me that look like, who the F are you? How did you get down on this field? And sit the F down. And he just stamped at me. He said, don't tell me how to coach this team. Now sit down.
And then he started calling for Steve Baldwin.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, my God, I pissed the coach off. And I was like, coach, you know, and he's like, sit down. So I just go sit down, and I sit down. I say to the guy next to me, oh, man, he's pissed. This is bad. And so the game goes on. Of course, I'm not in the starting lineup. And then before you know it, he's starting to weave people in and out of the game. Hey, Boozler, right field, Baldwin, you play Rover. Not Alec Baldwin, any of the other ones. But the point is he's looking at guys to my right and guys to my left while I'm sitting on the bench and just staring at me and just saying, sit there. So now I'm looking at the scoreboard clock, and I realize about 9 minutes left in the game,
yeah.
And I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
And I got there an hour before everyone else did and took batting practice, was warming up. I'm running around. I got my oiled my mitt the night before. I went to, like, the batting cage for 2 days, you know. And I realized I'm going to do the entire celebrity game sitting on the bench watching Elaine Boozler run to third from home plate. This is what I'm going to do. So now we're running out of time, and he says, Baldwin. And I think it was
Stephen
Baldwin. He says, Baldwin, get up there. Where's Baldwin? And it's one of these loosey-goosey things. People are hitting out of order. People are doing their own thing. Baldwin, who's already been at the plate.
Three times.
And by the way, who's one of these guys that looks fairly athletic, but put a bat in his hand. We'll see how he looks.
I'm going to pray for you too, Adam.
Oh, what's that?
That was Steve Baldwin.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, he prayed for me.
Well, yeah, that was, are you a Mormon?
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I am, because you're obviously such a retard.
Yeah. And by the way, what kind of Christian calls a guy a retard? Point is Baldwin cannot be found. And so I realize this is my only opportunity to get in this ball game. I pick up a bat, and I start heading for home plate. No one cares. There's no order. There's no, you know, umpires or anything. And he grabs me. Where are you going? I said, I'm going to hit, coach. He's like, no, sit down. I said, Baldwin, I don't know where Baldwin is, and he's already hit, and the game's going to be over. I'm not even going to play. And he said, sit down. And I just turned around, and I said, F you, boss. F you. And this guy...
And kiss my ass.
And kiss my ass, old man. And he's one of these guys who I don't think has ever been told to F off. And it had to have been like a good 30 years because I think he was a high-powered agent or something. He's used to people kissing his ass.
Yeah.
He flipped out.
Yeah.
Because, you know those people, there's people that are used to being told F, getting told F off all the time. There's ones that act like they've never heard the F word in their life.
Right.
He freaked on me. Yeah. And he was like, he's a little guy.
Yeah.
I was like, go ahead and bring it, Pops. I'll give you a nice ass whooping right here in front of the 10,000 people. I will just lay a smack down on you, Pops, right here, right now. And he was like, he's freaking. And then, so we were separated, and I went and sat back down.
No,
and
you sat back at the other, he came over to our
side.
Well,
that was later.
Oh, really?
And what happened after that is the next guy, not Baldwin, but I don't know, Corbin Burnson or something, who did, he did get to bat instead of me.
Yeah.
Hit, like trickled one back to the pitcher, where the pitcher just sort of barehanded it and threw it underhand to the first baseman for the third out. I was like, great call, coach. Way to go. I was the only guy heckling his own coach from his own bench. Yeah, way to get us out of the inning, coach. So he freaked out and ran over me again, in which case I gave him the invitation to bring it on, Pops, again. Big shouting match. Got us separated, and then I had to go over to Drew's team where I was exiled until the rest of the game.
But we talked to Gonzalez.
No, we talked to
Luis Gonzalez.
Luis Gonzalez turned out to be a big Loveline fan, so that was cool because they were playing the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. And so then I had to hang out there for the next 10 minutes. The game ended, and then I was banished from the game for the next 8 years.
Until your triumphant return.
Until my triumphant
as coach, pitcher,
return.
Manager of a team.
That's right.
Night.
That's
Josh
right. Stadium. Thank you. Thank you and mahalo. Drew, what happened with you? What did you go? 1-for-2 or something?
Yeah, it was just fine. I was not, you know, I don't have a lot of game like that. First of all, I've got very, very talented baseball playing sons. Very
yeah.
talented.
Which
and
makes me think your mom, your old lady, your wife, that is. No, no, cheated. That ain't your sperm.
Yeah, it could
that
be.
Ain't
well,
you.
Well, it was in a dish. You know, she might have selected something.
She may have. You know. She may have gotten something. She may have gotten something off the internet.
It certainly isn't something for me because that is not my sport. And
no. Yeah. What is your sport? What's your sport?
Football.
Basketball?
Football.
Oh, football. Yeah. Okay. Now, what'd you do your first time up?
I can't remember.
What'd you bat? Two times or
twice,
three times?
Twice. Got a base hit once.
First time. Oh, second time. Well, second time I told you don't swing so hard.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you listen to me.
And you wish I swung harder.
I wish you told Drew when he came back, he should have swung
a little
harder.
It was the tying run at that point because somebody came out and hit a home run after that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Anyway, it was a hard fought. Hardly contested.
Hotly contested.
Hotly contested ball game, and we came out. We didn't lose. We just ran out of time. Right?
Phone number again is 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah, it was back and forth. I mean, three homers every inning by each team.
Yeah. Well, they put the fence in too close.
Yeah they did.
Yeah. There were, you know, the homers that just barely made it yeah. and the ones I hit.
Yeah,
people are curious how many times I got up, how many homers I got.
Well, 3 for 3?
Same number, by the way.
2 for 2?
Two times,
nice.
Two homers.
Nice.
Would have been 3. I got up a third time.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Jen?
Hello?
Jen?
There she
Hi.
Is.
You're 20?
Yeah, I'm 20.
What's up?
Well, I'm 6 months pregnant, and since about the third month of my pregnancy, I can be pretty much anywhere, like at work or anywhere, and I'll have an orgasm just random.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all that progesterone and all that pressure. Those two things, now, for some women, create that.
It's frustrating for me because I can't have one during sex. But
oh, really? Why can't you
during sex? Not during masturbation or oral sex or nothing, but just random.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to the point where it gets so wet, I'll be working or something, and it looks like I've basically peed or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to wear a pad.
You got to wear a pad.
Okay.
How far is she? How far along?
6 months?
About 6.5 months.
All right. Your guy's around?
Yeah, he's around.
First kid?
Yes. Yes.
All right. You guys going to get married?
Soon. Yes.
How dare you assume that she isn't married?
How dare you? All right. Well, you wear a pad. No, who the hell? I mean, all bets are off when you're 6 months pregnant.
It's true, but why can't she have orgasm with sexual contact? That is bizarre.
Because women are effing with us. That's why.
Oh.
No.
No, shh. What happened this weekend? What happened?
Nothing.
What happened?
Oh, their whole thing is that they're like there's some kind of like, you know, tampon rolled into a Rubik's cube, you know, like they always, you never know. Why this? Why you have an orgasm with a vibrator, but yet when I hold the vibrator, yeah, nah, it's too much. What?
Right.
So you alone with the vibrator alone is fine. If I go down on you and you hold the vibrator,
no
way.
Right.
Ain't no way.
Let's pretend I'm not in the room.
What is that? What is that?
Pretend I'm not in the room. You hold the vibrator. Close your eyes. I'm not in the room. No.
Yeah,
no.
I know. Look, so that's my point. Well, why? Right. Why try to? You know, why try? It's like trying to figure out why Manson kills. You know, it's like who knows? He's a madman. We don't know.
All right, but anyway, the high levels of progesterone are androgenic. They have sort of testosterone-like effects. Some women are sort of geared up by that, and then the pressure of the baby bearing down on the pelvis sort of causes that area to swell all the time.
Yeah,
and that adds to her orgasm and the last trimester, very typically.
Speaking of pregnant, you were. You were with my main man, Oswaldo, last night up in the seats. Oswaldo had the misfortune, and it's happened to many people in their life. Heavyset gal came by the new job site we're on and making a new TV show, got a new job site. Heavyset gal came by to pay a visit, and Oswaldo did the little bun in the oven thing with her. No bun, just a lot of oven.
Oh.
A lot of oven, no bun.
How'd she react?
Always uncomfortable, obviously. Oh. But the point is...
And Oswaldo can't speak English.
Thank God he can hide behind that horrible accent of his. But the point is...
I mean, are you hungry?
I would never... You just... Like, I am so freaked out. That is my worst nightmare right there. That is to call and say, like, how many months along are you? Or when are you expecting to have a chick just look at me and go, I just got a fat ass.
Yeah, you don't even do it. I don't care if she's got quadruplets and she's 9.5 months pregnant. You do not say what's happening. What's going on?
Yes. That's the thing. I don't care if a Calista Flockhart shows up in a unitard with a medicine ball stuffed in the front of it. I'm not going to, I won't say anything. I'll rest my beer on it before I say anything.
You wait,
If they want to talk about whether they're pregnant, that's fine.
The
kid could be breaching.
Yeah.
The kids could be crowning. The head could be coming out of the vagina. I would just stand there.
Yep.
So, Dodgers. You're a couple games under 500 this year. We're saying a head coming out, umbilical dragging the kid by the umbilical cord. I would just sit there. I would just stand there and watch it. Mm-hmm. Not say a word. I will never put. See, this is what everyone has to learn, everybody.
You only have to do it once and you learn it.
I'm wondering what percentage of people in their lifetime have done this.
It feels like a big number.
It feels like, yes. Because it's so horribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And by the way, as a woman, it's time to lose some weight. You know what I mean?
If somebody were to say that to you, wouldn't you be sort of grateful on one hand? Be like, ho, I got to take care of this.
No. Well, I would.
You know what I mean?
First off, yes, I'm pregnant would be my answer, even as a dude. You know what I mean? Like, if I was a chick and somebody came and said, like, when are you expecting? Like, 6 weeks. That's it.
Last week.
Yeah.
But the point is, though, that's a message. You shouldn't get mad at angry at the person who said it. You should go, ho.
Well,
I didn't realize.
They probably do a little ho-ho, and they don't oftentimes get mad at the person. It's just horribly uncomfortable, no matter how you slice it. You know what I'm saying?
Jeez.
I just don't say anything. That's all. I'll tell you this. Let me impart a lesson to you kiddies tonight. You never really get into trouble for not saying anything.
That's true.
And you always get in trouble for saying stuff.
That's true. That
gossipy stuff. You know, that stuff where people go, look, I'm going to tell you something, but you've got to promise it. Don't say it. I even stop them. Don't even tell me.
Yeah,
I didn't want to know.
Yeah.
It's like, I killed a man in Reno. Don't need to know any of that stuff. That's the best way to go through life. Do not pipe up. Everyone be quiet. Let's try it with Tim. Tim, you're 20?
Yes.
We don't want to know what the problem is.
No. Whatever it is, it's your business. Take care of it the best way you see fit. You know, it's none of our beeswax. Besides, we can't tell you what to do. Only Tim can tell Tim what to do. Drew and Adam can't tell Tim what to do.
Just in case, though, go ahead and tell me the problem.
Yeah, you can. That's why I called you. Somebody that I was hooking up with called me the other night and told me that she is now showing signs that she has HPV.
What do you mean she's showing signs? You mean she had a pap smear and it was abnormal?
No, she said that she's too afraid to go get tested and she now has warts.
All right, well, that's not showing signs. That's having it.
Okay. Well, she had HPV.
All right.
And she didn't actually have the warts when we were hooking up.
So she thinks she got them from you?
No. I wasn't sexually active before her, so.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just manifesting now. She probably, maybe she's had them and feels guilty now or something. Did you use a condom?
No.
Well, you got them. And as does
has to have them?
Pretty much. Two-thirds of your friends already have them, too, so just relax.
Two-thirds? You brought up from half, like, 2 years ago. He's calling from Newport?
OC.
I'm just
doing the math.
Well, that's how they do it in the OC. But Tim was a virgin before he met her, so, you know, he doesn't run with a fast crowd.
All right. So the point is, it's very, very common, and it doesn't mean anything for you particularly.
Okay.
Most of the wart viruses go away spontaneously in about 3 to 5 years, but some persist.
Mm-hmm.
You are essentially always contagious, whether you see the warts or not, mm-hmm. and it's just a reminder to wear a condom. And for her, she's got some issues. She's got to be very careful with her regular pap smears.
And should I start showing, or?
If you do, you get them taken off. It's important. There will be a wart virus, by the way, vaccine out very soon.
Mm-hmm.
There are at least two different vaccines being studied, and they have, like, extreme efficacy. They look great. So this is going to be, basically every young person in the world is going to get this vaccine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's going to be a huge deal when it comes out.
Oh, and then it's...
And then, by the way, what are the people...
Will your kids get that?
Yeah.
It'll be open season for sex then, yeah.
No, what it will do is...
Game on!
It will remove...
With the Pinsky...
It will remove cervical cancer, basically. It will eliminate cervical
cancer.
However, what are the anti-condom foes going to do?
Oh,
this was their big thing. Yeah. Oh, you can get the wart virus still.
They'll come up with something to complain about.
Oh, my God.
They don't like people getting laid. Let me tell you what I love about life, Drew. Hmm. Tell you a couple things I love
about
life.
I didn't know there was anything.
No, I do. I'll tell you the one thing I love about life. We just got done with this celebrity softball game. I like the idea, by the way, that probably the three guys in the game with three of the best physiques out there were the three of the worst hitters, most likely. That's what I love about life. Michael Clark Duncan.
Huge guy.
Michael Clark Duncan, who was in the Green Mile and but he's many
other
things.
You know what I noticed is that you can really start to see, after about 45, you start to see the effects of aging. I felt it myself, too. I tell you can't swing the bat.
Drew, you couldn't swing the bat when you were 9.
No, I could when I was 14.
Please. I saw it. When did we played the first game, you were like 22. When I played my first Dodger game, you were no good. How dare you?
Doing better.
Now, here's especially swinging the bat. That's one thing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it does with many, but, you
could see, it was a
sprint. No, the guy looked like an idiot. I hope he's not listening. The point is Michael Clark Duncan is 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah.
He's... it's probably about 265, 270, and about
slimmed down a little,
about 4% body fat.
Yeah.
It's nothing but arms and a 30-inch waist.
Yeah.
Looks like he could just make a fist and pound you into the pitcher's mound, like a cartoon. Only thing is he can't get the ball out of the infield. That's what I love. And then John Lovitz, who looks like basically a Tom Turkey. John Lovitz looks like he looks like a hat and three chins, gets up there and hits a home run. That's what I love about life. And then I realized what the professional athletes are, the guys that are built like Michael Clark Duncan,
right,
but have the bat speed and fluidity of the John Lovitz or yours truly.
Yeah, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
now you mix them both. Now you get to that that level.
Did you stand next to the Dodgers? They're big, huge guys.
Well, baseball players are getting big.
Huge.
They didn't used to be big. It was Ron Say.
Ron Say was there.
Here's the other thing I couldn't stand either. I'm pitching for the team, and I give up like 3 home runs in a row. All I'm doing, I'm softball pitching. I'm just pitching underhand. I'm trying to put the ball in play. I'm trying to. The whole thing about it is I want to get the game going.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to pitch strikes. I want people to hit the ball, put the ball in play. I don't care where they put it in play. I'm putting a little bit of arc on it, but I'm just throwing it over the plate. I get 3 home runs hit in a row. Ron Say comes out. You know, he's clowning around. Give me that ball. He's going to cut me. He's going to pull me. He's going to relieve me. He goes in there. Now, Ron Say then proceeds just to throw the ball the exact same place I threw the ball, except for, of course, the next two guys just ground out. You know what I mean? And then he comes walking off the field and looks at me like, see how we doing? See how we doing? Like,
By the way, that was your camera crew that put everybody up to that stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you talked to your producer.
Oh, okay. But the point is, would Ron Say throw the ball any differently than I throw
the
ball? Why does the next three guys have to just hit slow-moving grounders back to the pitcher?
Yeah.
Really? Why does that work that
way?
The
great magnet.
But I thought I had the great magnet on my side.
Evidently not.
All right, let's take ourselves a...
Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Mr. and Mrs. Smith this evening.
Oh, how was that? I bet it was good.
It's good.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Looked good.
Good chemistry.
I want to see War of the Worlds when it comes out.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Everything's good.
I want to again appreciate the Loveline support I've gotten from my show on Discovery Health Channel Wednesdays. It's basically midnight.
Mm.
Check your local listing. But also, anybody that is feeling supportive, discoveryhealth.com, please write a positive review. I greatly appreciate it. Mm. I'm feeling the love of the Loveline listeners.
I saw your big billboard today.
Oh, you saw it. It's by your house. You just saw it for the first time today?
Yeah. Well, okay.
You see when a fly farts.
I know.
And there's a 5-foot, 5-story billboard.
I know. This is a huge,
clearly you've been screening this out.
Billboards come in sort of 3 sizes, sort of regular, medium, and then
jumbo,
the big ones. This is jumbo. This is all jumbo, all Drew, in one of the busiest intersections in this city and one that I live near. You know, here's what I realized. I'll tell you what happened. First off, I'm not working at Kimmel anymore, so I no longer go down Highland and go in that way. And as a matter of fact,
two weeks you haven't gone down there?
Kimmel? No, it's been a month.
Oh.
And the next thing is I actually avoid that stretch because it's so bad. I turn on to the, I go down Highland, get to the Hollywood Bowl.
Go up Cahuenga.
And then I turn on the freeway or go up Cahuenga or go whatever. But no, last few weeks I've been going into the valley. Okay. And then I realized that after doing that, George Lucas AFI induction tie thing last week, we drove right at it, but I was in the back of a town car. Mm. And I guess we're from the back seat or something. It couldn't see up at it. I don't know what it was, but I just saw it for the first time today. I was blown away. It looked good. I mean, you know, the problem is I was going down the island.
Blown away.
I was going down the Highland. I caught out of my left eye. And I wasn't running at it. I'm gonna run at it tomorrow.
It probably be gone by tomorrow. I actually don't know how long I'll be there.
No, listen. You know, I just thought of something, and Drew probably thought of it too. But he's maybe too modest to say anything. Go take a picture of it.
People keep telling me that.
Go do it. I mean, just you know, there's certain things that are stupid that you shouldn't do, and then there's certain things you just should do. You got a billboard in the biggest intersection in town. Go take a picture of that.
How retarded
you're never, ever going to see that again. Never. Ever. No, go get a picture of that thing.
Yeah, be smart.
It would I'll be. It. Well, you got a camera and your phone, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Just go do it. Or no, you got that Bluetooth thing, so the camera's in your eye, right?
Yeah.
You just wink your eye and ching. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, it's in my lens of my eye. It goes back to the retina.
Wow.
The camera's implanted.
You're like the $6 million man. Jim?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, I'm from Germany or Florida.
All right, we're ready to go.
How weird is it? Hang on a second, Jim. Jim from Tracy, California. It's Jim Tracy.
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Yes.
Well,
hi.
Dodger.
Yeah, I know, but no
well,
one.
What's up, guys? You guys
what's
are
happening?
Awesome.
Thank you.
Listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
All right, so I have some Germany or Florida.
All right.
Mother locks her 12-year-old son in basement to protect him from pit bull. It's one of their pets.
Mm.
The son finds a way to get out.
You heard about this?
No, going Florida,
that's
though.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Florida.
It feels black to me, you know? I don't think they got those in Germany anymore. Jim, we're going Florida.
You're going Florida?
Florida.
Florida.
Drew and Adam?
Florida.
You are correct. It's Florida. Yes.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well,
what happened? I just heard Pitbull, basement. I just thought Schwarze. That's what I thought. I'm not even Jewish, and I thought Schwarze.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so, he got out of the basement, and the dog killed him.
Ew, awful.
Yeah, what's with the pit bull thing when you have kids?
12 was 12-year-old, the kid.
Oh, kid was 12?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But what's with
locking the pit bull in the basement?
That's a good point.
Well, and that's why they call it Germany or Florida. You know, I mean, if everyone locked their pit bull in the basement instead of locking their adolescent in the basement, we wouldn't
be
have
game.
Germany or Florida.
I'm saying.
All right. Very sad. Yeah.
Here you go.
Let's, that also really could work for our other game show I'm working on, which is definitely not a Jew. That story would work. The story would be excellent for that, too. So we'll keep that.
What?
When we launch.
We need that. We need to launch that on the radio. We need to do a little test.
Definitely not a joke.
We'll pilot.
All right.
So, screeners, would you get a couple of definitely not Jewish?
Yeah, anytime you hear some guy shot himself with a BB gun in the in a steak bed truck and it rolled into a swamp, that kind of thing, that's how you play definitely.
They could screw with us, though. See, they could throw
definitely
a few little curves.
Nah, this one isn't really a game. It's just definitely not a Jew. All right.
No, we'll start with one.
You want to start on one?
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Tiffany, who's 22. Tiffany?
Hello.
What's up?
My question is, my fiancé seems to be like a five-minute man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not enough for you?
No, definitely not. How do I make him longer? Last longer.
Well, you really can't. He can start in on something other than intercourse.
Yeah, the meter's running when he begins oral sex on you. That's the way I look at it.
Aww.
You know what I mean? So maybe
sure
he
Tiffany
can.
Sees
maybe
it that way.
Do you like oral sex?
Yeah, that's fine.
Ooh, see?
Not really, though.
It's not bad.
Okay. It's not bad. That's not what we call a ringing endorsement.
Well, does he do a bad job of it or on it?
No, no, not at all. I just like for it to last longer.
No, he means the oral sex. Does he not know what he's doing with that?
Actually, we haven't got too much into that. So maybe I should try doing more of that.
Yeah, Tiffany, that'd be good.
Well, no, wait. Try receiving more of that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, hold on a second. Oh,
Tiffany, how old are you?
Tiffany, turn your radio down.
22.
She's calling from Bakersfield.
Okay, that explains everything. All right, Tiffany, here's the deal. Let's not enter into that territory again. There's a medication going to be coming out probably within a year.
Oh, listen, no.
No, there is, though.
But first off, they don't have penicillin or aspirin in Bakersfield yet.
There's tale
that some of this will be coming soon, but not yet.
All right, so for the rest of people outside of the Bakersfield area that may be listening to this call, there will be a medicine that will at least double or triple guys' time. It's very short-acting medicine that limited side effects. The research looks extremely good with it.
Tiffany?
I'm here.
What are you doing in Bakersfield, by the way, and why can't you get out of there?
I like it here.
You going to school? Are you working?
I was born here, so I don't know no other place.
I should say not,
because if she did, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'll tell you, listen, if you could just move into a refrigerator box that was in hell, it would be a nice step up. A huge step up from Bakersfield.
What do you do there, Tiffany?
I actually am a mentor. I work with kids.
Really? A mentor?
No, yeah. She said centaur.
Centaur.
Half woman, half goat.
Half goat.
Yeah. They don't have mentors. They have centaurs.
Yeah, centaurs.
Yeah, centaurs. Is that what you are?
Yeah.
Do you play the lute and yell at Hercules?
Yeah, I'm one of the goddesses.
Yeah, baby. Now, what do you do with those kids?
Usually try to help them in school to be more productive.
This is like a...
But in Bakersfield, this is your own family, right?
No.
Really? Man, you must... And there must be a never-ending supply of kids from effed-up families.
That's true.
Well, there you go.
Well, it's smart. If you're going to sell Gatorade, go to a hot place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And if you want to work with troubled kids, go to Bakersfield.
That's very true.
And what does your five-minute man do?
He's a truck driver.
Mm. There we go. Now it's starting to smell a little more like Bakersfield. So here's the thing. Let him... Or force him to give you some oral sex.
Okay.
And because he is not going to add too much time to... Okay, hold on. Here's the thing. If a guy's with a girl and they've been together for like a few years and the guy's just sort of, he wants to get his.
Yeah.
And then, he doesn't care, then all bets are off. It's like sort of judging what someone looks like when they're just going down to a store to get a newspaper. Well, the guy didn't shave, but you can't judge him. But if he's trying and he's not doing a good job, then he's a five-minute guy, and there's really nothing we can do about that.
Sometimes if they sort of ejaculate, pull a bullet from the chamber ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
that's sometimes some guys that works mm-hmm. for.
Tiffany, how long have you two been together?
About 5 months.
All right.
He should be at his best right now.
Not only that,
though,
they need to be exploring other avenues.
He needs to give you some oral sex. He hasn't offered any of that?
No.
It's time you do that.
Do you enjoy that?
Yes.
There we go. Okay. All right. Case closed. End of story.
Speaking of mentoring, you're going to have to work with some of those kids on that, too. A man's oral technique is very important as he gets older.
Okay.
That's very true.
All right. Okay. All right. How old are these kids you work with?
From the ages of 6 to 10.
All right. Oof. All right. All right. You doing a good job?
I'd like to think I am.
What's the number one problem they have?
Behavioral. They can't seem to mind their teacher.
Yeah. They act out. And they're all guys, right?
Yeah.
All right.
They're all getting beaten on by their families.
Yeah. That's what we do. We just... have these effed up families, dads get drunk, they beat on their kids, and then their kids are sort of unleashed onto society. And by the way, when you have a dog that's a bad dog and a dog that's abused or a dog that's aggressive and you just leave the gate open and the dog runs down the street and mauls a kid,
it's your fault.
Who the hell gets sued?
Yeah.
They sue the dog or they sue the owner?
Yeah.
Of course they sue the owner.
They kill the dog.
They kill the dog and sue the owner. When you got a 12-year-old kid who's smacking teachers and beating the crap out of other kids, let's go ahead and take the parents to task.
Agreed.
There.
Agreed.
How about it? Nature or nurture?
Well, at least
force them to step up and have some responsibility. And by the way, those people understand that concept with the dog. They keep the gate closed.
Right, at least have an evaluation. Sometimes it's not the parents' fault, but they're doing everything they can, kind of thing. But then society should step it a little further.
Then bad genes. That's their fault.
All right, let's keep going.
All right, I'm just saying the fact that we can crap out as many kids as we want, we can abuse as many as, I mean, look, Drew, knowing what you know, if there was a child and that child was ritualistically physically abused, or at least consistently physically abused.
Yes.
And then that, as a youth, and then that child somewhere in high school, you know, just all of a sudden in a fit of rage, picked up a baseball bat and hit, I'm not going to say your kids, but a friend of your kid. And he killed the kid with the bat.
Get the parents.
What is their culpability? Manslaughter?
Something.
Manslaughter?
You'd have to prove that they had been physically
abused. Okay, but you do prove that. Manslaughter? I mean, the kid will get murder one, but what do the people...
I don't know.
What does Dr. Frankenstein get for creating this in his lab?
That's a good question. I don't know, but something.
Well, it wouldn't happen if they weren't beating on the kid. Yes?
How about Grandpa?
Or Grandpa. I mean, now you can just go back to the Mayflower.
Right.
Start exhuming people and putting them on the stand.
Right.
It's awesome. Just a sack of bones on the stand. With the prosecutor yelling, answer me, are you too scared? You can't handle the truth.
Imhotep.
Yeah. All right. Here's my point. If I found out that kid was abused by his dad and he took the bat to my kid, I would want that something punitive to happen to that person.
Agreed.
All right. But as a society,
can't judge.
Only we can't do anything, we can't even think anything.
It's called the abuse excuse. How dare you?
We can't think. No. No. Mm-mm. How dare we? Jason?
Yes, sir.
You're 28?
Yes, I am.
What's up? Good.
All right. I watched, Dr. Drew watched the show the other night. For a couple of reasons. Actually, me and my wife, we both have physical disabilities, pain disabilities. I have fibromyalgia. My wife has RSD.
Drew just hears junkie whenever you say it, by the way.
Actually, I am an addict, a recovering addict. But one of the biggest...
Hang on, one second.
Shocking.
But there's an interesting corollary in this, is that the fibromyalgia from addiction usually gets better in about a year. So let's see how far...
What was fibromyalgia? Was it chronic fatigue syndrome? It was depressed people who wanted to do drugs. Thank you. Jason, go ahead.
All right.
How long have you been sober?
About 20 days now. So
yeah, see,
that
fibromyalgia will get better in about 6 months.
Stop calling it something?
It's mostly a sleep disturbance in the early parts of recovery because your sleep is a mess, right?
That's been a problem. Another thing too is the pain because coming off of the painkillers. You know, taking so many for so long has made the pain worse.
But the pain also will mostly go away in about another 2 weeks, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what's your question?
So I had two questions. One regarding that was me and my wife, unfortunately, we only get because of both of the, mainly her disability, actually, is that we only get to have sex maybe about once every 6 months if we're lucky. So one thing is, you know, how can we improve that, you know, different positions or whatever, because her, you know, with her with the RSD, you know, she has, you know, a lot of back problems and leg problems and everything. So
what's RSD?
Reflex sympathetic dystrophy.
It's an
autonomic dysfunction in an extremity, usually.
Is it an actual something?
It's an actual something. It is, here's what I think that is. It is an actual something.
Right.
And it's a dysregulation. It's a severe, disorganized, you know the thing you had done for your sweating?
Yeah.
That's kind of how they treat this kind of thing, too. It's that system is sort of disorganized, not working right. Yes,
Speaking of sweating, was it about 170 in here?
I know.
Thank you.
That's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
But it's associated with what?
Oh, she actually had the spinal cord, because watching your show with the Orgasmatron, she actually had the spinal cord stimulator implanted for the RSD also.
Mm.
And she actually got, she didn't get the stimulation the way that I guess the one doctor found out by accident.
Didn't get the orgasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she
they
got,
can position it. They can change the position such way that it can do
why
that.
Why can't she have sex with you, though?
Because it's here's the deal. Here's the deal. Because she's a sexual abuse survivor.
Nope. Sexual abuse in the past?
No, not sexual abuse. She's had physical abuse from her ex-husband.
Go back to her dad, go back to her grandpa.
Well, the thing is the physical, basically, is that she can't, is because she, it causes too much pain for her, is okay. the thing.
All right.
The spinal cord stimulator for somebody like you might be an excellent alternative. The fact is that they found that these spinal cord stimulators they put in to sort of affect the way pain is read by the spinal cord. Yeah. If you put it in the right place, will actually cause or help cause orgasms.
True. You know what I need? I need you to put together one of these wallet laminated little cheat sheets for me. So,
RSD.
When people, yeah, but it's like RSD, and you just write equals sexually abused. And then, when I'm talking to someone, they're like, oh, yeah, I have fibromyalgia. And I can be like, ooh, junky. Ooh, okay. Because sometimes you're not, especially with the PSD and the PTSY BFD and everything, right. It's like you're not sure. So, wait a minute, did this guy get in a motorcycle accident or he's just depressed and strung out on Vicodin?
Here's the thing I want you to remember about all this, though, is that we want to sort of lay this off on psychological problems, but the stuff he's describing actually are neurobiological. This is his brain not working right.
Yeah.
His brain can't regulate pain. Hers can't. There's all kinds of crazy autonomic dysfunction. Their central nervous systems aren't working right. And it's not psychological because you almost can't reason, you can't treat them out of it.
Yeah.
Very well.
Well, either way, it's like somebody's schizophrenic and you just saying, come on, get it together, buddy.
Exactly.
It just can't be done.
There's a part of the brain called the insular cortex that sort of determines the emotional valence or importance of a stimuli. And it doesn't work right in people with chronic pain syndrome. It puts extreme importance on every little pain.
But you know that when a woman was sexually abused for some time, she's going to have, what is the...
All kinds of pain.
What is the one? What is the main one they have with the...
pelvic pain.
Yeah, but with pelvic...
PTSD.
PTSD?
Yeah.
Pelvic...
Post-traumatic.
Yeah, what is that one?
Endometriosis or...
Yeah, it's like pelvic
inflammatory disease.
Yeah, is it PID?
Yeah, what do we hear? They give it a different name. Well, it's interstitial cystitis, they call it.
Yeah, anyway, there's about 15 of these things that just equal either nuts or high. And it's just good. If you would get me this thing, I could, because I don't want to attack some guy with Lou Gehrig's screaming his uncle abused him sexually.
Well, you know
what I'm saying?
You've been known to do that,
Sure.
Only when you intend to do that.
Get out of that! Get out of that wheelchair, faker! And then, dumping him, then yelling, get up! While the crowd gathers, going, come on, quit faking! And then the kick in the ribs. It can get ugly. It can get ugly. I could be asked to leave the theater. Let's take a little break. Pregnant and smokes pot.
Eesh.
All that after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. Who's that, Anderson? The Gorillas.
Our buddies.
Our buddies. Our Woo. Good pals, the Gorillas. Miss those guys. Man, do I miss those guys. Man, do I miss those Gorillas.
Yeah.
1-800-LOVE-191er. Jennifer?
Yes?
You're 19?
Hi, I'm Murdoch from Gorillas. You're listening to Loveline with
there
Adam and Drew.
I just had a horrible, visceral, Vietnam-type, PTSD-type flashback.
Yeah, to those guys. And then immediately following the heels of that was images of Black Grape and the darkness.
Blur. Oh, man. I hate all those a-hole bands. What a pain in the ass.
All right, Jennifer, what's up? We got 1 minute here. Here we go.
Okay, I am pregnant. I'm 2 months pregnant. And I read in a magazine that if you smoke bud, it helps with your nausea. And so I tried it, and I've been doing it. Lately because it's been
Jennifer, healthy. you must stop doing that, okay? Unless you want to endanger your pregnancy.
But High Times says...
Yeah. Please stop doing that and talk to your obstetrician about what you've done.
Ask her what you read.
Contributing editor Chong mentioned that...
What's your question, Jennifer?
Well, I'm manic depressive and schizophrenic, and I'm on antidepressants, and the antidepressants they said are probably worse.
Which one is it? What are you taking?
I take Effexor, Trazodone... And one other one, I don't even know what it is, right?
Okay, they are what they are not been proven to cause birth defects, but they're not approved for pregnancy use.
What's the problem with weed? Come on, man. It's an herb, man. It grows from the earth, man. It's a natural herb. You know, it's natural, like a tsunami or an alligator.
Or Amanita phalloides. When you lick it, you'll die in about 4 minutes.
Yeah, or like a water moccasin or viper.
Yeah, it's natural. It's good.
It's natural, man. Or like a cactus.
Yeah, Jennifer, please talk to your doctors about this. You listen, I'm concerned about this whole pregnancy. You're bipolar, schizophrenic. If you stop your meds, it could be disastrous from the standpoint of your illnesses. Now you're endangering your pregnancy with the
things
you're doing.
But what about the weed? With, man, how many people smoke weed while they're pregnant and know it, you know?
Early, you mean?
Yeah.
Probably a couple exposures. Probably not that big a deal.
Probably not.
But it, you keep using it, it will endanger the pregnancy for
sure. It will. Yeah. The weed. Early. Better at 8 months than at 1 month. What do you think?
I don't have any data for this. I think better at 8 than 1.
Toke out. Bust that bong out at 8. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
Ferris Bueller.
He was the custodian on a Breakfast Club, yeah. Oh, are we going?
Are we on the air?
Hey.
Thank you.
All right.
1-800-LOVE-191. It's Loveline. We're still, Adam's regaling me with these stories about his first outing as a coach.
Trying to figure out which celebrities we knew from where. Mm. And I think the first baseman...
He had dark hair in the movie.
Yeah. He was kind of the truant guy from the Breakfast Club.
He was the teacher that kept coming in and kicking their butts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know if he was a teacher or he was like a, you know, vice principal or something.
He was the guy doing the detention.
The detention guy was the guy who played first base. Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. You ready to rock?
Let's go. Let's
hey, guys, real quick. Hmm. You know how old I am? I actually snuck into Dodger Stadium when I was a kid.
Really?
And can you imagine sneaking in there now with the terrorist threats and all that? But, yeah, it was like 4 in the morning. My friend, Jackass friends, and I snuck in there and ran the bases. It was great.
Oh, you mean there was no game going on?
No, it was like 4 a.m.
You just hopped a fence and got in there.
It's cool.
I can see that being kind of cool.
Yeah.
I snuck onto the Universal Studios tour when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. There used to be a way you could do it.
Wow. Oh. That's how Spielberg got his house now, probably.
Actually, I did it twice. What were you saying, Anderson?
That's how Spielberg got to start. He just hopped off the tram and set up an office and
started directing.
Bungalows. Yeah, pretty much.
What?
He got to know. It's a really good story. He got to know the security guard there, and the guy just thought that he was supposed to be there every day, and he would just show up to his bungalow and call and say, "Yeah, I'm over on the Universal lot," and he got to start that way.
Wow, that's how Drew got this gig.
Wow.
Hey, I snuck in, I was about to say, as a kid, which I did. Like, I snuck in when I was, like, 12, but I also snuck in when I was, like, 28, too. I forgot. You know, the way you do it as an adult is you'd go through, like, the restaurant, and then you'd get some sort of hand stamp, or you'd buy, like, a thing of fries and get a hand stamp, and then enter the park through the back of the restaurant, and then somehow work your way back in. Mm.
Fascinating.
That one I did when I was in my late 20s. I forgot about that one. Dan?
Yeah.
22?
Yep.
Let's see, you're gay?
Mm-hmm.
You want to adopt a child with your partner?
Yeah.
When you say partner, you mean you're not a cop. You mean gay partner.
Yes.
Yeah. Life partner, like you and Jimmy.
Yeah. No, we're cops too, though.
Oh, well, yeah.
Gay police. You ever hear that Cheap Trick song?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So what about it?
What's the question?
My question was basically is what is that going to have like an effect on the kid when as he's growing up, or is like he's going to grow up and be pissed off or?
Yeah, listen. Whenever you adopt a kid, half the kids that are adopted are a little screwy anyway because whatever reason they got taken away from their parents or their parents dropped them off. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there can be issues.
Nature or nurture. There's usually a couple of issues there. This isn't going to help. But it's still hell of, whatever it is, too loving, fill in the blank, women, men,
it's
whatever,
what
it's
going to
be better than what they would have got, and they'll be fine.
There's no really deep data yet on, you know, gay couples and adoption, that kind of thing.
I mean, looking would it be at it, if you know, I, like, adopted a younger, like, instead of, like,
yes.
Maybe...
No, you want if you're gonna adopt
a 23-year-old.
Yeah, you want to adopt somebody.
Adopt a guy's a year older than you.
You try to get somebody at the moment.
Then
of
you're
birth.
Gonna have sex with them too.
You don't want a bond that's disconnected with the parents. That is what screws kids up.
Yeah, what you don't want is 3.5 years old.
No,
and then the second thing you don't want, or at least I wouldn't want, is that open adoption crap. weirdo white trash mama coming by every couple of weeks. Honey.
Yeah, don't want that coming by the house.
No, no. I mean, everyone thinks this open adoption thing is so great because it has the word open in it, I think. It's sort of like, oh, look at you. You donated an egg. No, you sold it for $8,000 on the internet. You didn't donate anything. And by the way, open adoption, you gave your kid up for adoption. What it is you didn't feel like you're up to raising the kid either emotionally or financially. So you let someone else raise it. You just come over and visit it like you dropped your dog off at a farm.
Yeah, right. It's like I don't want someone's crack whore mom coming by the house trying to show interest in somebody's kid.
Hold on. All right, stop, Dan.
Dan's not gay.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, Dan.
Well done.
Nice try with the gay, Dan, but we ain't buying it.
Are you?
Thanks. Whatever. Hang up, you boys.
Whatever.
Dan, you ain't gay.
Come on, Dan.
Dan, be honest.
I swear to God.
No, you're not.
You want to talk to my coworker?
Your coworker?
My coworker. I'm at work right now.
Oh, he'll be able to straighten this right out.
Hey, ask what Dan did today.
What'd you do today, Dan?
Well, I went hot tubbing with a friend.
Why didn't he go to the gay pride parade?
Yeah, what about the gay pride parade where Drew was grand marshal of?
That's the 25th and the 26th, and I'll be there.
Who's today?
Oh, hold on. First off, listen, Sergeant Friday, Sergeant Fag Day. What?
Anderson, they don't hear him.
They don't hear Anderson?
No. They don't hear him.
All right. Well, here's the other thing, too. Sometimes they can hear Anderson, sometimes they can't, which is always ultra confusing. First off, Anderson, why do you know so much about the gay pride
parade? Well, actually, it was in Beverly Hills, and it screwed everything up. I was trying to get across town. Everything was shut down, and I was pissed off.
Anderson was trying to get it to a gay bar in Silver Lake, and he was pissed that it's
very inconvenient. Yes.
Yeah,
all my gay friends do not have the jack off gene, and Dan's just like got the jack off.
No, gay guys have the same gene the chicks have when it comes to prank phone calls, which is no gene. Sorry.
Were they?
Dan.
Yep.
Gays don't have the prank phone call gene, therefore you can, or don't have the jack off gene, which means you cannot be gay.
You can't be making the, I don't want a crack whore mom's going by here.
Yeah, they don't
ridiculous.
Have that. Your kind does not permit those kinds amongst the ranks. Now the phone's falling apart. Between Anderson and the phone, I don't know what the hell.
No, he's saying
what's
nothing
up
and
anymore.
I'm on air right now.
Okay. Well, listen.
Thanks, Anderson.
Boy, it'd be great if it's the other way around, wouldn't it?
Well, you guys answered my question for me, so.
I tell you that
Let
I
me
do
talk
have...
to your coworker to confirm your gayness, though, by the way.
Okay.
All right, what's his name?
His name's Cloud.
Cloud.
Confirm my gayness.
Tell him I'm gay. Yeah, tell him I'm gay.
Yeah, there you go. Cloud.
Yep.
Cloud, have you ever seen Dan blow a guy?
No, I haven't.
All right, and what else? Does he ever take any me days? Doesn't show up at work? Is just going to take a me day?
No, he really is gay.
He's really gay?
He's really gay.
You have a confirmation of that?
Yes, I very much know that he's gay.
Are you gay yourself, Cloud?
No, I've actually called before.
Oh, okay.
And I worked at an adult bookstore down in Southern California.
Oh, okay.
I've actually called before. I'm the guy who called actually about my girl.
Just don't care. Just don't care.
Anyway, there is. I actually do have one concern with the gay man.
Dan sounds like he'd be a delightful gay daddy, though, doesn't he?
Yeah. But he's not 22 even. Sounds like he's 16.
Okay. Well, if he is, the gay part's not going to screw him up. The Dan part's going to screw
him up. Right. And that's the part I do have concern with is that gay couples and monogamy and longevity, they need to be a stable couple that really is going to stay together.
I like the idea that Anderson's question for the potential gay man was, when's the gay pride parade? Where is it?
That's a good one, though. But also, I just figured out that El Cerrito's way up north, so there's no way he'd be down here anyway. So, Cerritos.
Fred Siegel's, they're sponsoring a float this year. What's it look like? Okay, you're right. Poppy seeds and what? And what?
It
and
worked,
mustard.
All
right, you dodged a bullet. Yeah, he did. We got him on the ropes. And by the way, he didn't know when the gay pride parade was.
Well, in El Cerrito. 1-800-LOVE-191 is here as the number on Loveline.
Let me explain my take with the gay pride parade. Let's just treat it like the Indianapolis 500.
What?
Let's just have one.
You know what I mean?
Let's have a big one in Indianapolis. I'm just saying. Does every city need 3 a year? You know what I mean? Let's just have one big ass jamboree. You know, where everyone could just show up. Welcome, gays. Big sign. You know, some kind of deal from Southwest Airlines where, you know, you and your life partner flies free. And you guys just all go into one big, get all out of your system. one big chaps, you know, nipple clamp fest, and then pow, back to your jobs wherever you are. Each city doesn't need their own. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Each city doesn't need its own fill in the blank, frankly.
Yeah, yeah. All of them. Everything. All the parades, all the whatever pride, all the whatever your culture, whatever it is. Let's do it in one designated place. As a matter of fact, how about you just go back to wherever you came from and do it there?
Yeah.
That's the best place to do it. Then every day is fill in the blank day. Yeah? Yeah. But you moved here because you didn't like that place. But you want to have a... You want a parade celebrating him. You know what it really is, Drew? Here's basically what this country is. Here's what it'd be like.
All right.
Okay. Me and you are gay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what? Mm-hmm. How dare you?
New engineers filling in Sunday night. Rick over here. Me and him, we used to be married. Me and Rick.
All
right. We used to be married, and we lived together for a long time, me and new engineer Rick.
And you've left him for me.
I left him because he beat the crap out of me on a daily basis. Uh-huh. Okay. And then when I told him my wounds hurt, he urinated in them.
Ooh,
and
nice.
I stung them even more.
Quite a guy.
He was horrible and abusive. And the house was
a
mess.
Maybe I start dating him.
The house was a mess. New engineer, Sunday night engineer, and I, Rick, is standing by. Rick and I, we lived together. The house was a mess. Mm-hmm. The lawn was dirt. There was a sofa out on the porch. The kitchen was infested with roaches, and he beat the crap out of me. Right. So you know what I did? I moved in with you. Yes. I moved out of Rick's house.
Yes.
I moved into your house.
Perfect.
Where it's nice and clean and tidy and everything's good.
Yeah.
But once a year, I want to have a Rick Fest.
Yes.
I want to have a celebration because I'm proud of my years with Rick. That's really what goes on in this country. You moved out of the dump with the cockroaches and with the weeds growing on the front lawn where you couldn't find a job and the abusive whatever. You moved out. You moved into Drew's house. Why? Because Rick's house sucked. But once a year,
you miss it.
Close down your house. We're having a party. We're going to celebrate Rick. Hey, you feel good about that, don't you, Drew?
Sure.
Why not celebrate Rick?
Yeah.
I got a lot of pride in Rick. I like to talk about him a lot in front of you, and I like to wear shirts with the Rick. I got a bumper sticker on my car.
I'm liberated. Why would I feel jealous about that?
How mature of me. But believe me, the house was a dump. It was a dangerous and roach-infested fire trap, but don't worry. I got a lot of pride. Little pictures of Rick tattooed on me, Rick bumper stickers, Rick flag out front of mine. No, in front of your house.
Ooh,
now.
Yeah.
See?
Well, you know, I'm open-minded, and you
it's
know,
Rick
I'm from an open society, and so I have to really accept these.
That's
things.
Basically what goes on. Everyone comes here from their crappy country that sucked, and then they want to throw a party once a year for their crappy country that sucked, and that's why they're here. Yeah, look, you love your country? Go back, go enjoy it. It's utopia. Yeah, you left because they were torturing your family and trying to put a burning tire around you, but it's a great place. Get the flag. Hang the flag. Fly that flag proudly. Stefan?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yep.
What's up?
I just got a quick say. You guys are awesome.
Thanks.
But I got a two-part question really quick.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
I started masturbating like...
Hold on, let me say something about Engineer Rick.
Hold on.
Hung like a thermos.
I feel better then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. No.
Let's go have a parade.
I mean a big thermos. I mean the kind you put soup in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not the one you send in your kid's lunch pail. The one that iron workers guys use. You know what I mean?
The big coffee dispenser we push down.
Actually has a pump on the end of it.
Top it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Steven?
Stefan.
Or Stefan. But can't
here you
this,
go. Here you go.
All right. Yeah. Can't this be Stephen too, or is it something else?
Not with an A.
It's Stefan.
It's got to be Ian.
S T E F.
All right, go ahead, Stefan.
Okay.
Stefan, go by Steve, would you? Stefan's gay.
Here we go.
Thanks.
Here we go. Here we go.
I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help you, buddy. Go ahead.
Okay. I started masturbating when I was like 11.
Mm-hmm.
And,
interesting.
Since then, I'm 15 now, but it's just like I don't know what it is, like the feeling or something, it just kind of isn't the same as when it started.
The bloom is off the rose, Adam.
Yeah.
He's been at it now for 2 years, and it's just, you know, doesn't have the same
thrill.
How
do you rediscover your hand? I'll tell you. First off, there's many ways to do it. How about a romantic weekend with you and your hand, where you just get away from school, the pressures of school, and, you know, peers and stepmom and all that. You just take the kid, you get to go up to, like, Idlewild. you know, just go up there. You have some spa treatments, your romantic dinner with your hand.
Yeah.
You know, how about surprising your hand?
It's all right.
How about surprising your hand with flowers? When's the last time you did that?
It's all right.
How come will you have to see the movie you want to see every time? What about the movie your hand wants to see? You know, your hand wanted to see Fever Pitch, but you didn't want to see that. No, you called it corny and sappy. No, you wanted to go see End of Days.
Here's the deal, Stefan. Have you lost sensitivity, anything like that there?
Yeah. And let me tell you something about your hand. You ignore it long enough, it starts seeing other Johnsons. No, let me tell you something, Drew. Hold on.
This may not be a problem with Mr. Hand, though.
I just want to tell you that I ignored my hand.
Uh-oh.
And my hand... It left me messages.
It took it out of you. Oh, I'm sure.
I came home one day and found it on another penis.
Oh, my God.
I was shocked.
How horrible.
It was horrible. It was my best friend.
Oh, my God. Whose was it?
It was Chris's.
That's the thermos, right?
Yeah. I was shocked.
Chris or Rick? You mean Chris? Chris? My
old buddy, Chris, yeah.
Chris, I think I meant Chris, the new graduate from my junior college.
No.
His brother, by the way, I saw at Starbucks today, and he was elusive about the graduation issue.
Yeah, like it's never going to happen. But the point is do not ignore your hand.
It will stray.
It will stray, and you'll pay the price. We've since reconciled.
I'm surprised you still talk to the hands, and Chris, for that matter.
Yeah. The hand, we had gifts. I gave the hand a golf glove. He did one of those things that he never does. He never does that anymore. He did that for me, made me happy. And, you know, we're back. We're in good shape again. Stefan?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, look, this means it's probably time for you to start experiencing a woman.
Well, no way. Hey, hold on.
Well, I'm not a virgin.
You're not?
No, I'm straight, nothing with the hand or anything.
You're a virgin.
What, you're a virgin, though?
No, I'm pretty sure. I lost my virginity when I was, like, 12, 13.
No, you didn't. Whatever it is, it's sort of dubious and doesn't really count. You did something, you did half of something once, like maybe in a jacuzzi, brushed up against something outside of a bathing suit. What do you mean? You didn't do anything.
Yeah, pretty sure I did.
Pretty sure?
What does that mean?
It was... a while ago, it was like 2 years ago. It was, my mom lived with her boss out in Port Orchard, and so like she had a daughter named Crystal, and I went out there on the weekends.
Well, the word Crystal does make sense, but
yeah.
No, you, first off, you would know if you had sex with somebody, number one.
You wouldn't say pretty sure.
And number two, you don't go 12 or 13. You go 12 or 13 when you're 43. You don't go 12 or 13 when you're 15.
Yeah.
A year and a half ago. You know how old you were. You know what grade you're in.
You know exactly what happened. So stop it, Stefan, please.
Right, you're
people's
virgin.
Names out and stuff. That's people don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, gentlemen don't do it.
Yeah. I got another question, though. A quick second part question.
Yeah,
what was the first part?
The first part. But does masturbation have any effect on the size as you progress,
no.
like, with doing it? Like,
no.
Does it have any effect on how...
I think that's his concern.
It's not like a tube of toothpaste where you just squeeze all the toothpaste out of it and there's nothing left.
Nothing
I think
like that
happens.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Nothing?
No.
Mm.
No. Mm. Stefan's all over the place.
Yeah, Stefan is all over the place. Who names your kid Stefan?
Maybe that's not his name. It didn't sound like a Stefan.
He defended it.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
He wouldn't have defended it.
You're right.
Yeah? And who goes by Stefan?
I'm going to pray for you too, Adam.
That's your name. That's Stephen Baldwin.
I'm going to pray for you too, Adam.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number.
Oh, yeah. You know, when I I did Howard Stern, a year ago or something, I had a lovely time because I don't know why Stephen Baldwin came up, but I think what happened was I was doing Howard Stern like a year ago, and I was talking to his producer, Gary, and I'm like, so what's the schedule? And he's like, well, Stephen Baldwin's going to come in here from 7 to 8, and then you're going to come in here at 8 o'clock and finish out to the end of the show. And I said, good. Do me a favor. That Stephen Baldwin, he's a blowhard now. He does nothing but talk about Jesus Christ and thump his Bible and everything. So just go ahead and get him out of there by 8 o'clock. Then I'll show up at 8, and we'll do the news and everything. It'll be awesome. So, of course, I'm such an idiot. Like, you just can't tell those guys anything. So, of course, I show up at 8, and it's like, how'd Steven do? He hasn't showed up yet.
Uh-oh.
He's not here yet? No, he's running late.
Were you actually in the studio?
No, I was out of the studio. Yeah. Well, when am I going in? Well, go on in. So I go on in, and I sit down. It's like, hey, Adam's here. And then,
wait, you were in the studio?
I went in after that.
In New York. Okay.
New York. Yeah, oh, sorry. Yes, I was in New York. Sorry. I was sitting in the studio in New York. And, of course, I'm sitting there just making a little small talk. And then, of course, 10 minutes later, hey, Stephen Baldwin's here, buddy. And then Gary, you know, comes up, Mike. Yeah. Adam said on the phone yesterday, Stephen was a blowhard. He was dumping his Bible. And he was a pain in the ass. You want to get him out of here. But, Stephen, sit on down there next to Adam. Adam, is that true? Or what's going on? Did you tell that to Gary? It's like,
oh. Yeah.
Really?
Nice.
Nice. And, of course, when you say the things that are true, and it's like, well, what were you talking about? I don't even know. I don't remember. First off, even saying some of that.
You just go, very uncomfortable.
All right, when we come back, I'm tired.
All right, break.
Lucy's a twin. I attempted to cheat on her husband. Don't get sex as much as she wants. Lucy?
Yes.
I don't know any Lucy, like the only Lucy Lawless. I bet Lucy's hot. Lucy's a hot sleeper name. You know what I mean?
I'm not a stripper.
No, sleeper, like quietly
sleeper.
Hot, you know? Like Christy's a hot name. Yeah. Oh, no, Lucy, yeah. What's your nationality?
Mexican.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a Mexican name, yeah. I was thinking red-haired Lucy.
And I parade around.
That's Lucille.
Right. All right, so what's up?
I just want to know, how can I engage my husband after 4 years of marriage? Sex is just, it's not thrilling. I've had better, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
What are you missing? What do you need? You want to go to break?
Yeah, we'll go to break.
All right, hold on, Lucy.
Drew, you act like you're going to give her what she needed.
No, I'm just curious what she's talking about.
What do you miss? What am I going to put you down for? When you need, like, a double order of sausage and a side of schlong? Okay. And we have a little mayo on the side?
Yeah,
put a little mayo on the side.
Yeah.
Oh, extra mayo. Done and done.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want a wet nap with that, baby? Or just
that comes on, Mac.
Yeah. Where do we go? Go to the bottomless nut barrel. Just go get yourself some nuts. Yeah? Yeah, Drew?
Here you go. Break it down.
All right. Let's break it down. Let's go. Let's get on. Let me say this, Drew.
Say this.
I was at Dodger Stadium yesterday, so was Drew.
Yeah.
I went over to that. I was down in the. They got some new club level thing where you get to eat good food and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But went over to the big peanut barrel.
Yeah.
Got myself some peanuts out of the big peanut barrel.
Like
55 gallon
nice.
Drum of peanuts. But I just thought about this.
Huh.
Probably doesn't go all the way down.
Probably
a round piece of plywood put there about 8 inches down from the top.
Therefore, not bottomless.
Not bottomless. And possible midget hiding in it.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, otherwise you wouldn't put the false bottom on it.
It's got to be something in there.
Now, here's the thing, Drew. Do you think that goes to the bottom?
No.
Do you think the thing goes halfway or above? Above.
Above.
It'd be harder to, it's gonna be hard to fill. Penis will get stale down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Moldy.
Take a, and that hole, that cork hole in the side.
So the midget breathes out of.
And a viewing port.
And you know what, you know, people like you can buy, you know what happens.
Yeah. When you're at the club level, you use it like a glory hole.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. All right. Boy, what, Adam's been at the peanut barrel for like 20 minutes. Oh! Boy, he loves those peanuts.
Well, see, the those in the know sort of shorten the penis barrel. Penis barrel.
Penis barrel. Is that what you call it? All right. Oh, not peanut. Yeah.
Not peanuts.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Lucy after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew and I were just talking about the... decent-sized earthquake we had out here in Southern California this morning.
It's one of these ones that was just a jolt, though. You know, with some of them, they hang on. This one wasn't one of those.
I was in Palm Springs. It was big down there.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's where the epicenter was. And, you know, the thing about earthquakes, well, I got a couple things. First off, I've lived in Southern California my entire life, experienced many earthquakes. Don't know what one feels like when I'm not in bed, though. I would have no idea what it felt like if I was staying.
What is that?
I've never not been in bed.
Yes.
When there's an earthquake.
No, so not a big one. Big ones always 4 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Decent sized ones, or in this case, 8:30 in the morning, but Sunday morning.
Right.
Normally you might be out of bed, but it's Sunday and you're sleeping in.
And never when you get to bed. It's not 11 o'clock.
No.
Ever.
And here's a couple of things. First off, if everyone in Southern California should pay me to stand up. Because we will not have an earthquake if I don't invert myself. And I'll have to learn to sleep, like, leaning against a cot mattress or something with, like, a shade on and some earplugs.
Yeah.
But I am convinced, and I've been here my entire life and been through every earthquake, that one cannot hit if I'm on terra firma.
Yeah.
If I'm actually standing up,
no way.
We're not going to have it. So what ends up happening is every single earthquake I've ever felt has woken me up out of a dead sleep. And there's now,
which is, by the way, the worst way to experience an earthquake.
Yes, it's because there's the whole part about I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, my wife slept through it, and she was like, I had a dream that you'd farted and that the house rolled down the hill. Like, you just have these, here's what your mind does. First off, I don't know why my mind doesn't just quickly jump to earthquake, but
right.
Your mind just sort of, here's what your mind does. Your mind doesn't want you to wake up.
Right.
Your mind says, let him sleep. So they just incorporate some jackhammering into a dream you're having or something
or
like that.
The dog's
right?
jumping on you or something.
Yeah, something going on in your dream so you don't get woken up.
Right.
I like that part of my brain, by the way, that wants me to lie there and just die in my sleep.
It's a big part for you, too.
It's huge. Point is I immediately woke up because I don't sleep very hard. And I was like, oh, we're having an earthquake. And then my next take is oh, fantastic, because I have so much, like, I'm still like I'm in the ninth grade and hope I don't have to go to school the next day. Like, I just hope, oh, good, an earthquake. Man, the whole city will fall down. I won't have to do whatever I'm supposed to do. Even if I like what I do now or part of my crap is falling down, I still am happy that something's going on.
That's an old primitive part of you, too. But except for that thought, isn't there the other thought, which is immediately, how big, how long? Here we go,
mm-hmm.
How big, how long?
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know. It could be huge and go for 2 minutes or
right.
just like a pow and it's over.
Yeah, and see, my whole thing, too, is I used to do earthquake rehab on buildings. I used to structurally engineer buildings or at least build them, retrofit them so they wouldn't fall down in an earthquake. So I know what's going to fall down, what's not going to fall down. Everyone else is scared assless. I know exactly what to be worried about,
yeah.
And I live in houses that I already retrofitted or I did something to. So when there is an earthquake, I have a little feeling. I'm like, oh, come on, let's go.
Yeah,
you want some? Keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost because otherwise whatever I did would be a waste.
Right, right. Interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know you have confidence in what you did.
I went through extra time and extra expense when I was working on the house.
Yeah.
So if an earthquake hits, if an earthquake never hits, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
All right. But actually, I'm going to stop thinking that way, Drew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was real quick. I was down in Palm Springs in this really retro place, and I woke up and I had no idea what was going on. It's a long story, but I had to stay with my parents last night, and it was like 8:30, and I went to bed drunk, and had no idea where I was. It was like the 50s. My parents were freaking out. It was horrible. I'll never recover.
Nice.
You don't have to say drunk, by the way.
Yeah, we knew. Just went to bed.
Just say went to bed.
Yeah, we knew. That in there for you guys.
We did the math. We did the math for you.
And please use the more accurate pass down.
Passed
out. All right. Do your folks live in Palm Springs?
No, they were down there, and I was supposed to visit some other friends, but those friends were puking by the time I got to them because they were so drunk, so I just went back and hung out with my parents instead.
All right.
And the place was like burnt orange and just totally Frank Sinatra. It's strange, strange.
Oh, interesting. Like a motel? What was it?
Yeah, it's like this little motel in the desert, and it was very strange.
Yeesh.
When is our next, and, you know, by the way, I remember, it seemed like it was about a year ago today, they were saying something huge is going to hit and before the year is out or something, and nothing hit.
Yeah.
But we're due.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, about every 10 years, right?
Yeah.
All right. You ready to rock?
Yeah, here we go.
Let's talk to...
Back to Lucy.
Lucy, yes.
So, Lucy.
Yes.
You're not happy with your husband sexually. What is it you need from him?
I need intimacy. I need frequency.
All right, well, what about two different things? Intimacy means something... Sometimes he's not sort of emotionally available for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, he's supportive but don't know. He is supportive.
Okay, so what is it you need from him?
I need frequency also. I need to feel loved and...
Okay, so sex is some way, a way you feel that way. And how often are you having sex?
Right now it's like... God, once a month, if that.
And what is he interested in?
God, at least, you know, maybe twice a week.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Would be good, you know?
Yeah. So have you talked to your husband about it?
Yes.
And what does he say? I have a headache, I'm tired, I work hard.
I know he's not, you know, cheating or anything like
that.
No. Yeah, guys kind of double down when they're cheating. They put on their best behavior.
He always seems he's tired. And the thing is that if we do engage in sex, it's always in the freaking morning. It can never be like at night.
And you don't like the morning.
Earthquake time.
Well, I do. But, I mean, if that's the only time, you know, I've had other sexual relationships prior to being married. And it just, I know, you know, the newness.
All right, Lucy, hold on. Slow down. Let me ask a couple of pertinent questions here.
Okay.
You guys have kids?
We have one.
One kid. And is he cool with that, or was he freaked out by it? Was it a mistake?
No, he's good. He's a very good...
I just keep hearing nice guy.
Everything's good. And, do you come from a little chaos?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Do you know your dad?
Yeah, my dad's here.
Is he a jerk?
No. He was an alcoholic, he was in an accident, like a work...
Okay.
Wait a minute. So growing up, he was an alcoholic until you were how old?
I think about... God, I'm going to say about 12 years old.
Yeah, I just think I hear 13.
All right. Now you're 12 years old, and then he got into an accident at work.
Mm-hmm. And then he stopped drinking because he had to take a lot of... medication.
Right.
Uh-huh. What kind of accident? The calculator blew up?
No, he was a janitor and he fell. Oh,
I was figuring CPA. I don't know why.
No.
So, all right, so...
Nada.
He fell and hurt himself and then it just became pain pills from that point on.
All right, so that's pretty...
No. My dad's good. No, nothing like that. My dad's good.
Wait, Lucy, you're the one that just gave us that story. You said
your dad was an alcoholic.
Uh-huh. Then he switched over to medication. Then he switched to medication.
Yes, and then after the medication, like, I mean, we always thank God that, you know, thank God for the accident because that stopped. The alcoholism stopped, right. And then that type of chaos that was before stopped.
All right. And by the way, bad sign when you think, thank Christ dad was crippled in the accident.
And got strung out on opiates, yes.
Or anything.
Yes.
Or got strung out on nothing. Yes. But the point is
crippled.
Whenever you think, thank God dad was crippled, that means dad
sign.
Had to be pretty goddamn bad before whatever accident he had.
She's thinking quietly to herself. We all always say. Thank Christ he broke his back.
No, they would join hands around the dinner table. When it bless Nana and Papa, and thank Christ dad took a spill on a waxed floor and dislocated his lower lumbar and is now cannot hit the booze and hit us anymore.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Let's eat. Yeah?
Yeah. And so, Lucy, you sometimes... One of the things I'm hearing about this guy is he's nice.
He's got chaos.
And you need some chaos.
Okay.
Yeah, he might be freaking him out a little bit and sort of he's backing off
Lucy,
because of that.
Listen to me. Liz, you listening?
I'm listening.
You come from some chaos.
Well, there is one of the possibilities that he's doing a bunch of drugs and not because she could actually be into him, but he's doing drugs.
It's your guy.
My husband?
Yeah. Do you smoke pot or anything?
No, he's not.
No, okay. Right. Here's what's going on,
that's
Lucy.
That's what's disappointing her.
I don't know how to cure this, but
no,
here's what's...
not true.
Here's what goes on. You come from a little chaos, and you have a little energy.
Yes.
Your husband is a nice guy, and he ain't flipping your cookie because he is a nice guy. He's not dangerous. He doesn't have that crazy, chaotic energy. There's nothing to fix on him. He's not a project. Now, he is recoiling a little bit because he's freaking out a little bit about your energy. And what guys do is guys become like cats. They just, with a toddler running around the house, they just get up on top of the refrigerator. They're like, I don't want to deal with it. I ain't going. I'm not leaving the house. I'll be up here on the fridge.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with it.
Yep.
And you don't even have to say anything. They just feel that he feels her energy, and he, in a way, feels like, just instinctively, I don't even know if he knows it on a certain level, maybe, but probably not. His thing is just, I'm just going to stand back and let that fire burn out.
Yeah.
Well, what ends up happening is she ends up banging one of his friends and telling him and trying to goose him out of his, get him off the fridge. Now she's going to try to act out enough to get him off the fridge.
Oh, boy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Listen, Lucy, if your dad was an alcoholic and then strung out on whatever, you got to get some therapy on your kid's behalf so you don't F up your kid.
And there's a cheap way to do that. You go to Al-Anon, get a sponsor, work the steps. That will have some impact on this.
Anthony.
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yep.
What is up?
Oh, man. I don't know. I just wanted to call and ask you guys' opinion on something. I got, you know, when I ejaculate, I can shoot it about 15 feet.
Mm-hmm. Have you measured?
Yeah, actually, I had my girlfriend bust out the tape measure.
Really?
And it went, that must have been humiliating.
Right from his upper bunk to his stepmother's forehead, which right about 15 feet.
Good times.
Right in the reading.
Nice.
She was doing some. She was knitting. Wow! 15 feet. She really. And hold on. First off, is your
room carpeted? Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it?
And now hold on.
Is your room carpeted?
Is it carpeted?
Shag or
Yeah, well, no. Where did you test it? Here's my thing. If I'm the girlfriend, I'm like, look, let's take this one outside, or let's at least move it out to the garage.
Or let's put down a slip and slide.
Yeah, or let's go, let me roll down. I got some 6 mil Visqueen. We're going to roll that out, tent this place off.
What did he do?
I want to find that out. Anthony?
Yeah.
What kind of surface were you on when you did this? Were you in the house?
Unfortunately, yes.
Is there carpet? Oh, it's an apartment. You see, yeah. I'm the guy who gets
the place
next.
We got wood floors, though. It's all good.
You did. I was on wood floors. Yeah. I'm guessing your apartment doesn't have 15 feet in it. You just said
yeah,
like the kind of guy.
It sure does.
It does. Where were you?
Huh?
You were in the hallway?
Yeah, actually.
And you were standing there?
Yeah, I was just standing there. And it's been going on for about 6 months now, so I was kind of like, hey, come here, I want you to check this out real fast.
And you stood up, and you did a little thrust action, and you
point.
You give the same trajectory they do the human cannonball with. You know, they don't point the cannon flat, and they don't point it straight up. It's just that sort of 45 that works the best.
And then she
put the tape from where your feet were to where the furthest piece of moisture was.
The furthest piece of spooge was 15 and a quarter or something like that.
Pardon me while I just vomit.
All right, hold on a second.
I'm just going to vomit.
Drew, you understand...
What?
That is from the wall behind you to wall in front of you.
Yeah. That's a long way.
Hold on. Oh, did he hang up? Was that wind aided?
He's on 5.
Oh, he's on 5. You know, did you have a wind at your back? Because it's not going to count. It's going to have asterisks by it if it goes down in the record book. You were indoors, yes? Okay. 15.6. It's technical. It's too much. It sounds too far. Even the great Peter North couldn't go that far. Yes, Drew?
I'm out of class.
What do you think about
it?
Tumors? What do you think?
I don't know.
All right. And now, when you're masturbating, what do you do? Just smack the ceiling fan?
I don't really got to do that too much.
Oh, man, if I was your girlfriend, I would insist that you did at least once before we got together. You know what I mean? Like, my whole thing is like...
Ooh, smokes pot, too.
Oh, I got to get this guy down under 10 feet before we get it on. I'll be like a, you know, blast it off him. You know what I mean? Like a water rocket. Anthony, smoke a lot of weed?
Yeah.
Shut up. All right, listen. Whatever you got, that's fine. Drew, could it be some sort of tumor or something?
Nothing I'm aware of.
You're fine. All right, focus on your job and less on your semen and more on whatever crappy job you have, all right?
All right, man. All right,
and don't smoke so much weed.
All right.
All right, God bless you and your girlfriend.
Oh, boy.
15'6", it's too much, Drew.
Yeah, it's a long way. Maybe he saw, like, swung himself around like a whip.
He did the whip like they do with the ice capades?
Yeah.
Different?
Yeah. We'll just...
All right. Listen, what happened to the whip?
It's still around here and there.
Did they do the whip? It used to be when you went ice skating, they'd do the whip. They'd get a chain of people, like 10 people wide, and they keep going around, and they whip the person at the end.
I've seen my daughter do that kind of thing.
She's done the whip?
Yeah.
How about whippets?
No.
Oh, okay. No. All right. Missed those, too.
Here we go.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah. Get it on. It is weird, Drew, that you've never experienced an earthquake where you've been sort of coherent and
it's
alert.
It's not really weird. It's just disturbing. Because I think it affects your like psyche, your sleep forever when you live in this town.
Yeah, I mean, I've never felt an earthquake in this town when I've been dressed, on my feet, and aware of my surroundings.
Right.
It's always, what? What's that? Is this, and then it's like, are we have, really?
Well, it's always, should I run?
Yeah.
Should I start running?
Should I wake up whoever else is in the house? Am I really experiencing this? Yeah. Am I having a dream about it?
Yeah.
Then there's that whole part, too. There's this part, too. Did you feel that last night? No.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Oh, I thought I felt something.
Yeah.
I didn't feel anything. Well, they're like 4:30 in the morning. I swear, maybe it was a car backfiring. Like, there's that part where you think you're crazy, too, because you're not sure.
And then it's sort of quasi-disappointing, because when there are huge ones, there's no mistake in that.
Yeah.
That's a whole different experience.
I'm just saying, would it be possible for me to actually be awake for an earthquake once? I've experienced 10 good ones since I've lived in this city and never been flat on my back and passed out at every single one of them. That's all. Just one where I was up. That's all I ask. Jessica, and by the way, you know I'm gonna, you know the next one, I'm gonna be in a tunnel going under a river, and God's gonna be like, "Hey, Carole, you wanted to be awake, right? Yeah." Have fun.
On a freeway overpass.
Have fun. Yeah. I'm going to be at the top of an extension ladder changing a flag or something. There's going to be now some cruel irony where I'm actually undergoing some form of eye surgery or something where I'm completely lucid.
Perfect.
And there's a laser that's going to cut my nose off. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Yeah. So you've set it up.
Yeah, set it up. It's going to be perfect now.
All right, Jessica, here we go.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right, here you go.
Here we go.
Jessica.
Hi.
16. There we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Okay. So, I had a couple questions for you guys tonight.
Here we go.
There we go.
Yeah?
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, let me ask you something quick, Drew. Now, I want to strangle Jessica, right?
Right. That means she's an abuse survivor, because you always want to abuse survivors. Right? That's just the way it is. I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm not an abuse survivor. He abuses me every night.
Something must have happened.
No.
Something happened to Anderson. There's some kind of personality disorder there, obviously. Drew, we'll talk about it after the show. Grandfather sexually abused her as a kid. Dad doesn't know. Now, Drew.
Yeah.
That part where we said, "Here we go," 26 times, and she just did that, not going to play. And then actually at a certain point when it seemed like we were going to hang up, said, well, I'm ready to ask my question. We said, "Here we go," and she did the silent thing again. Is that passive-aggressive thing that makes me want to strangle all abuse survivors?
Yes.
Yeah. What is that? Obviously, they're angry. You'd be angry, too, if your grandpa abused you.
It's a particular posture. When horrible things happen to children, the immediate... So the thing the brain does is assume they caused it. It's a way of avoiding the horrible feeling of powerlessness of having actually something random happen to you.
Right.
And when they believe something is that they've caused something to happen, they now go out into the world believing that they control everything and they make bad things happen to them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So every interaction starts with, well, this is my world. I'm in control of it. This is a very grandiose sort of landscape.
Right.
And I'm going to make and bad things happen to me. And so they make sure that you react negatively.
I know it sounds like we're making much ado about nothing. And it doesn't sound like anything to anyone who's listening. But I feel it like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
I feel that sort of anger because I get angry immediately.
But you should read that and go, okay, I know this is an abuse survivor who needs my empathic attunement.
All right. Sweetie, how can we help you tonight?
My grandpa touched me for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And my mom found out because she read all my diaries.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
But my dad still doesn't know.
Is it his dad? And,
so I was just wondering, how do I tell my dad?
Is it his father?
Yeah.
That's up to your mom to do, I'd say. You got to get some treatment for what you went through. If you and your therapist decide it's a good idea for you to talk to your dad, that's fine. But otherwise, it's up to your mom to take care of this.
I'm not allowed to go see a counselor. My mom won't let me.
Why?
Because my mom has like this weird insecurity about counselers and stuff.
Because she was sexually abused from it.
Therapy's for losers.
And you need to at least talk to somebody at school. You've got to talk to somebody who's professional.
Did your grandfather, how old were you when this began?
9 years old.
Ugh.
And what did he do? Did he have sex with you?
No, but he gave me oral sex.
Oh, my goodness.
It's even weirder. Scratchy beard and a bad... bad Greek fisherman's hat.
Jessica, this is going to affect you rather profoundly. I really strongly urge you to get some treatment.
Jessica,
for this.
please, baby. This guy, by the way, should be shot with a goddamn whaler's harpoon. He just should. And he should be. You know what they should do with this guy? They should stand him up against a couple sheets of plywood, stand about 2 feet in front of him, and just shoot him with a whaler's harpoon, just stick him to that goddamn plywood, and then we let my Tacros go on his ass. Just performing oral on your 9-year-old granddaughter just means you're in my mind. By the way, murder. I understand.
Yeah.
This, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like unless you have a tumor. You need to be killed. Or if you have the tumor, we'll remove the tumor and then we'll kill you.
Yeah.
All right. Get some therapy.
Please, just tell somebody.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Yeah. Well, that's the show. Drew and I went to the bathroom down the long hall.
To our favorite bathroom.
And Drew had a wild suggestion because we came at it from a different direction. He said, how about we use the ladies' room?
Mm-hmm.
I said,
which we did.
Tempting. So we used the ladies' room.
Very
and not only did Drew use the ladies' room, but he used the handicap stall
on the
ladies' room. So
he's
two for
wild.
Two right there.
Wild. Telling you, breaking it out.
Out of control, Drew, in the handicap stall, using the steady bar and the tampon dispenser to steady himself while he stood there.
Since that Discovery Health Channel billboard went up, man, I'm just
whizzed all over that goddamn seat, too. Yeah. Dipped it in urine. It was awesome. All right, so until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.